Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We're jumping feet first into one of the most significant issues and one of the most significant challenges of our modern world. Worldwide, it's a $70 billion industry. Its reach is, thanks to the internet, just about everywhere and continuing to explode. It crosses genders, generations, and I know really sensible people who say this is the biggest issue for Gen Y, to say nothing of probably all the other gens. It is pornography, and it's become such an issue with online pornography that 87% of kids, apparently, between the ages of 8, yes, 8, and 16 have viewed pornography online. One reason we're dealing with this tonight is to hook into a visit to Australia of Craig Gross from the Triple X Church, which originated in the United States. Craig is here appearing at the Sexpo event in Sydney. He's been taking part in Porn Sunday church services. Yes, church services. You'll see him on the ABC's Q&A program tomorrow night. But first, he's with us now on Open House. Craig Gross, welcome to Australia and welcome to Open House.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Craig, we should begin by getting you to tell us about Triple X Church.
Yeah, triplexchurch.com is the largest site online helping people that are struggling with porn and sex. You know, we're not against sex. We're very pro-sex and think that this is a great thing that God's designed to be, you know, experienced. But porn, I feel, is a cheap substitute, a fantasy, not reality. And we're trying to help those that are caught up in that.
You do a lot of touring, appearing and speaking at events like Sexpo that's been on this weekend in Sydney. What is the reaction you get from within the industry, typically?
Yeah, it's really refreshing. I'm not saying everybody's our best friend, but we've been invited around the world to talk about porn and to basically share the other side of this message. And I said last night, I don't know a church, many churches that would invite somebody from the industry to their place. And so for us, like, we kind of feel disprivileged to be able to be in that space.
You've also been debating a guy called Ron Jeremy for years at these exhibitions, as you have in Australia. He's a renowned porn star himself. What does he say? What do you say in these debates?
Yeah, Ron actually still shoots porn. I mean, he's still a star in these movies. And, you know, Ron's thing is it's entertainment. It doesn't hurt anyone. What's the big deal? My side is, I think it's not setting you up for what real sex is all about. I think it's giving you false expectations. It's degrading the women. And so we kind of battle it out. He defends all the points that I bring up. And then after that, we, you know, kids ask us questions or people ask us questions. And then you kind of take it from there, whether you agree with Ron or you agree with me.
Do you think you ever win over many people within the industry?
Most of the debates are at college campuses. So, like, the industry, and I don't want to debate those people. You know, I'm more interested in being Ron's friend than his opponent. For the industry, I think that the biggest thing that we have going for us is we've been doing this 10 years, and we're a familiar face in that environment. And so I think that's what's great, you know, that there's a level of trust that has been established with people in the industry to know that, hey, you can find us, whether it's Australia or whether it's, you know, United States or Canada or London, that, hey, we're gonna be there.
What was it that first hooked you into campaigning about the porn industry, and what was that church connection, as with Triple X, that you founded?
I was a youth pastor before I did this, and I saw so many kids struggling with the issue of pornography and just the availability of it. I didn't grow up around the internet. Obviously, I'm 36. I had to look really hard to find porn. And so we wanted to create a safe place online where people could get help about this. And so we started off basically trying to help kids. And the problem and the issue, obviously, is just, I think, gotten so much bigger over the years.
Yes. How big was the problem then, say 10 years ago, and how have you seen it grow over the last 10 years?
It's a massive industry, but obviously before we started, you know, it was before MySpace, before Google, before all those things, and, you know, before Wi-Fi, before, you know, Xboxes having connection to the internet, cell phones connected. So I think it's just gotten more and more accessible, and it's going to continue. You know, every device that you're purchasing is going to have Wi-Fi, and you can find porn on, you know, 420, I think, million pornographic websites. And so it's, you've seen the number. The accessibility just is enormous. And it's just getting easier and easier to find. And kids are seeing it at a younger and younger age.
Is it a ridiculous question to ask you, what is the great attraction? Why is there such a rush to porn, especially online?
You know, the Bible says, I think, you know, to run away from sexual sin. And it says no other sins are like this. And so I think the great attraction, there's something in the scripture where it says, like, there's nothing else like this. So I think that's part of the allure and the attraction of this, because there's nothing else like it. And you know, I think we've always seen, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. We've seen, you know, Jesus referencing, don't even look at a woman with lust in your eyes. And so I think this has always been an issue, but we've just, you know, with the internet, figured out a way to put this in the quietness of the privacy of everybody's home.
You say that porn addiction is one of the most difficult addictions to overcome. Why is that, do you think?
Once again, no other sins are like this. So I've met people that have, you know, gotten themselves to quit smoking or off drugs or out of other addictions. But I think this is so powerful, and it's kept so quiet and confidential, that when you want help, sometimes you're in way too deep. And, you know, I have a good friend. I mean, crazy story with porn and sex and affairs and prostitutes. I mean, you name it, he did it. He finally got help. His family stayed with him, and they saw him through it. He started writing for us on the Triple X Church site and impacting so many people. And just when I thought he was through it, it snuck back in. And I think he just kind of felt like, there's no way I can go through this again. And he committed suicide. Three kids and a wife that he left behind. And you know, I did the funeral, and I just kind of, my heart just broke, as I just go, man, this is why we're in this fight. This is why, you know, the Bible says, you know, there's nothing else like it. And a lot of people are in for the fight of their lives. You know, if you're struggling, if someone's listening that is struggling with this, man, it's not going to go away on its own. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to just walk out the room. You've got to fight for your family. You got to fight for your relationship, I think, maybe with the Lord that has been hindered because of this. And you've got to want to change more than anybody else wants it for you in your life.
And to perhaps recognize the seriousness of the problem.
Yeah, because most people go, oh, well, at least I'm not doing this. Well, what you're looking at online is going to take you offline. And it's not going to just, like I said, go away.
Tell us about what you call Porn Sunday, which you've been doing today, indeed yesterday, at a Seventh-day Adventist church. Again, you conduct these services around the world.
Yeah.
What is Porn Sunday like, and do you accept that there'd be Christian people who'd be offended by that?
Oh, there's people that are offended by the name Triple X Church, the fact that we're Jesus loves porn stars, everything we do. But, man, I think Jesus' message bothered a lot of people as well. Like, what's he, you know, he who cast the first sin, you know, he without sin cast the first stone. People are offended by a lot of what we do. This is shocking. We're not trying to just be shocking for shocking's sake. Porn Sunday is an event that we do at churches around the world that have said, hey, we want to address this issue of pornography, and we want to talk about it. So you can call it Porn Awareness Sunday. You can call it Porn Sunday. I mean, it's just a chance to talk about this issue. And we're going to offer people hope that are sitting in church. You know, at Sexpo, we're not preaching. We're just going in there and we're talking. But at a church, we're allowed to give a sermon, so to speak, about, I think, the destruction of pornography and sexual sin.
So you're on about three areas or stages in confronting the problem of pornography: awareness, prevention, and recovery. Can you take us through each of those? What do you say about each one of those?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, when we talk about awareness, I feel like we have this big megaphone, whether that's with the media, our online website, opportunities that we have to get people to pay attention that this is a big issue. So, I mean, we'll do anything short of sin to get that message out there, from a porn show to a debate with Ron Jeremy to exhibiting at Sexpo. That's raising awareness. Prevention. We want to help people that say, you know, that don't go down Porn Boulevard, that say, hey, I don't want this in my life. We have a great tool called X3 Watch, which is a free accountability software that monitors where you go online, and it helps you have a conversation about the sites that you might look at. That's a way to prevent this. And then recovery, whether that's small group studies, whether that's an online workshop, whether that's a church program, whether that's sending you to a six-week live-in facility. I mean, we're going to help you, those that are in need of recovery, get the right tools and resources. it's hard to cram everything we do into three words, but those kind of things sum up what we do.
Yes. Can I ask you this? As you tour these sexpos and confront the industry or are part of the industry as you communicate to them, you're on the front line of the porn industry to an extent that few are. How do you protect yourself from getting hooked in? Because I'm sure that would also, even for you, be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think because every day we see the devastation of this. It, you know, the marriages that are in shambles and the reality that, so when we go to one of these places, one, we're not alone. We're not going, you know, just by ourselves. I honestly feel like it'd be the last place, like, not just to say we're working, but it's like probably the last place we'd stumble. You know, like everybody else, we'd probably get caught up alone and when no one's watching. But when everybody's looking at you with a microphone in your face or a camera pointed on you, it's probably the last place that you're going to fall into this. But we're going to be smart about it as well. And we don't take for granted those opportunities. So we're not scared of it, but I think we're also going, we're not here every week. You know, 6, 7, 8 times a year, we're at these places, and I feel like it's very doable for a lot more people than would ever probably show up here. But at the end of the day, it's just talking to people. You know, whether you're selling sex or you're selling cars, it's just the same hurt, the same pain, the same issues that we all face.
It seems one of the critical factors that you talk about is accountability, other people being alongside you confronting this problem.
Oh, yeah, because it's a secret issue. And so when something's kept in secret, like, you're not going to get help. We want people to talk about this and understand that this is a, you know, this is a big deal. And it's not going to go away unless you bring somebody in on that conversation.
Craig, if there are so many kids being exposed to pornography on the internet from 8 years old on, what would your advice be to their parents?
Man, parents got to get a clue. You know, the internet's a lousy babysitter. And so you can't think that little Johnny that's on the honor roll is not going to be, is exempt from this. And so parents just have to, you know, it's our responsibility. I mean, we've got two kids, and protect the internet, protect what they watch on TV, have a conversation, not just one, but several about these topics. That this is the world that we're living in. And don't expect somebody else to do this and care enough about your kids to do this. You know, there's a big part. I mean, XXXChurch.com/parents, a huge site, you know, section of our site is devoted to parents to help them have those conversations.
As I said, I have no doubt we have people listening for whom this is a struggle right now. From all your experience and all your insight, what would you say to them tonight?
You know, three things. You know, first, confess this to God. And you know, he knows you, the hairs on your head, the number. He knows your thoughts before you think them. So it's just an idea of, like, it's, you can't save yourself. And you know, God's come to set us free. Doesn't mean you'll never struggle, but you don't have to go about it alone. Confess it to somebody else. Your wife, your spouse, your pastor, your friend, your girlfriend, your son, your daughter. I mean, you've got to journey with somebody on this road, and you've got to want it more than they want it for you. And then the third thing is to clean it up. Decide today that, hey, I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of the internet. I got to get rid of this relationship. I got to get rid of this television. I mean, whatever it is that's tripping you up, decide that, hey, there's more important things, and I'm not going to continue to get tripped up, so I'm going to clean it up.
Can you perhaps offer them finally a story of someone you know or someone you've heard about that could offer some sense of help or hope in confronting the addiction of pornography?
Yeah, I've kept a friend of mine accountable for years, and I, you know, it got to the point where it's just he kept falling, and you know, I get frustrated. He's in a small group; people cared enough about him, but you know, finally, it was just like, "Look, dude, I'm friends with your wife. Like, I'm going to tell her, or you're going to tell her." And you know, it's just like there's enough trust in that relationship to go, "Dude, I'm not going to keep watching my friend fall." So what's it going to take? And like, what's on the line? So I remember he's just like, no, don't tell her. I'll tell her. But it was just like, you know, because there's a point where it's like, I'm not going to break trust with him. But there's another point where going, no, dude, it's out of control. She needs to know. And I remember praying with him, like, as he's driving around circling his apartment about to tell his wife. And I just said to him, I said, dude, never forget this day. Next time you're tempted, next time you want to go into this world, like, remember how bad this situation is right now. You're about to go tell your wife you've cheated. You're about to go tell your wife you've not been faithful, that you've gone and done this. But like, so don't lose sight of this when you think you've overcome it, when you think you're home free. And I remember, like, you know, there's a lot of tears shed. There was several days later of us talking together and all of us kind of sitting down with here's how I'm going to work through this. I would say that road out is not easy. The easy thing would be to keep it a secret. She doesn't need to know. And, like, I'll get help. But, like, the freeing aspect of, like, no, I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to really fill her in on what my real struggles are. Man, I mean, I would say they're doing a whole lot better now. I mean, this is, they're not out of the weeds yet. But when people decide that, man, I'm going to do not what's easy, but what's right and what God's called me to do and, you know, be honest with myself and with others. I mean, the Bible says, confess your sins, you'll prosper. Confess your sins to one another. And I think it's freeing.
Craig Gross, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House. It's been a mind-expanding and important conversation to have. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.